The Ray Foley Podcast.
Oh, here we go. Here come the details.
A Today FM original podcast.
Ray.
Yeah.
I love the show.
Hey!
Burke's Sproggan Dirk Technique.
Hello there, Ray Foley's my name. There's my friend JP. Sorry, what?
I'm over here. Could you turn on my mic?
He gets really angry.
It's Vorsprung Dirk Technique.
What did I say?
You said Vorspragen Dirk Technique.
No, I didn't. I said Vorsprung Dirk Technique is what I said. Volkswagen. Vorsprung Dirk Technique.
Okay. All right.
Hello there. Thanks for downloading our podcast. Thanks for smashing that subscribe button or just pressing it. Gently pressing it is also acceptable. And you can download us wherever you download podcasts, including the Go Loud app, the Today FM app, Spotify. I had a horrifying sensation. You know that feeling of when you just like a bill comes through the letterbox that you know it's going to be a horror show of like a credit card bill or something. And when it comes in and you haven't even opened it yet, you get that, you know, the feeling of your stomach falling through your arse. That feeling I had as I was on Spotify, and Spotify suggested this podcast to me.
Oh God.
It's horrific, isn't it?
Isn't it awful? Yeah, can you imagine?
But this is it. The notion that this podcast could possibly be regarded as a podcast or even being out there in the world being consumed and consumable by normal people and regular listeners of actual podcasts. It's absolutely horrifying, soul destroying. And really, really concerning, actually, that the state of audio media has come to this, I'm being suggested that my face is popping up on people's apps alongside, I don't know, proper podcasts like Pod Save the World or the Conan O'Brien.
We got stats breakdown yesterday from our stats podcast people, podcast stats. And
the stats king, the stats queen, the stats guys.
Unfortunately, people are listening to it, yes.
That's also genuinely... I'm not saying this in a sort of a Vorksprung Dirk Technique kind of way.
Right.
I'm saying it in a genuine way that if people are listening to it, we really should be trying to do a better job of it. Because genuinely, and this is not a lie, this is 100% true. We do a show 5 days a week, and then it's like, oh, sugar, we have to do a podcast. And that's what this is. So the fact that you downloaded it, having seen a suggestion or an ad or a pop-up somewhere, thank you so much. Subscribe on in there, Ray Foley on Today FM. We'll shovel this in your direction. On JP has a shovel. I've got one of those, yeah. You know, those forks that you have with all the cow dung and horse dung on it and manure.
Yeah.
And I've got one of those. And between the two of us, we'll just keep chucking it at the RSS, the XML feed of garbage that we provide into your app.
It's kind of like the audio equivalent of, you know, after the five shows are done on the radio, it's a bit like going to your fridge and going, well, that's still in date. I could turn something. That'll do. All of those together.
Jesus, that's gone off.
No, but it's supposed to smell like that. It's cheese.
Fair enough.
If you just cut off the upper layer of the mold, Christ. The bit underneath is fine. And then that gets turned into audio and here it is in your ears, the podcast.
The best before date on this was yesterday, but I think we can still...
That's close enough.
We can still use it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Or do what I do and it's like, just give it to the kids.
Jesus Christ. Hello, Tusla. Come in.
Come on, we all do it. It's like the best before date was yesterday and you're like, it's still grand, but I'm not going to eat it. Give it to the kids. And they turn out fine. They're fine.
I suppose it's like immunity. You're giving them immunity in some way. You're like vaccinating them with gone off cheese.
I'm building their resilience is what I'm doing.
And doesn't penicillin grow on cheese anyway?
A scummy baby bell. Here, eat that. And we'll find out tomorrow if what... You know the way they say, these best before dates, they're all out over the place. They're all loose. My wife says this all the time. And I go, I know, I'm not eating anything if it's out of date. If the date is on it... And it's today, I'm not eating it, but I'm perfectly happy for my kids to eat it.
When it comes to food hygiene, question for you, right? Because I found myself doing this the other day in the kitchen. I don't wear shoes inside the house, right? Yeah. Sorry, inside my apartment, right? So I'm walking around with socks. But the floor I know is not clean. It is hoovered, but I've never washed it. But it's not dirty. However, when food hits it, I am fine in picking up that food and eating it. So if a piece of grated cheese or a grape falls on the floor, I'll eat that, no problem.
Well, because it's your germs, is it?
They're my germs, yeah. And yeah. I don't wear shoes around. So if you're walking around, if you pay attention to where you're placing your shoes on the street as you walk down the street,
Oh, it's horrific.
It's horrific. You nearly would want to not bring your shoes inside the door at all.
Oh, yeah.
But would you still eat food off your kitchen floor if it hit the floor?
I don't really wear my shoes inside that much. I do a little bit. Like, I'd wear them in. I don't have a hard and fast rule in the house where, like, they come off once I go in. My kids take off theirs the minute they go in. And I think Kate does. But then I would wear mine a little bit. But then most of the time I'm in the Crocs just for comfort. Or I got these little booties at Christmas. These gorgeous little booties. They look like Uggs. Like they're rip-offs of Uggs. But they're not like, you know the way an Ugg is like a full boot? These are like an anklet. These are like an anklet, a furry anklet boot.
Wow, things got sexy quick here.
Yeah, and little else. Let me tell you, little. An anklet boot, a furry anklet boot, and a little else.
The fur blends into your leg hair.
Little else. Yeah. So suffice to say, dropping a grape on the floor is not what will put you off the food. It's me in an anklet boot and little else. A little bit of housekeeping, by the way, before we continue. And it's only a realization that we've come to on the basis of the conversation with the Stat Queen yesterday. This is all different, right? That the podcast happens in this feed and then there are bits of the show that go up, but the whole show doesn't go into the podcast feed. I don't listen to the podcast myself. If I ever am in a position to go, oh, I want to listen back to that thing or find out what I said, or just in case I get in trouble for saying that, I'll go back and listen. Excuse me, but the way I listen is on the Today FM app, and then there's a bit in the app that is listen back. Mm-hmm. It's right next to the podcast bit, but it's listen back. And I thought from when we were here in the 2010s, the old Today FM app and the old Today FM website had a setting on it where the listen live only had 7 days. So like on today's, whatever day you're listening, it's Saturday. It'll reset and sort of just bring in the previous. Last Saturday will go and today will go fresh. So it'll only be ever 7 days of listen backs. Guys, for those of you going, I want to hear the whole show, I just don't want to hear a bit of it. It's all there. They're all there. It doesn't refresh a week, or it's not only 7 days worth of stuff. It goes back to, I think, when they reset the server or something, back to last September. So you can get any listen back show of any day. It's there on the Today FM app and you can catch it.
Haven't really missed much in 2 years of shows.
Oh, this is it. Yeah. It's the same.
Reheated and churned out again.
Yeah. You can get it there. But just don't listen to anything that I'm going to get in trouble for, yeah? Just don't use it to catch me out.
Don't use it as a weapon against him.
Yeah, don't cancel me on the basis of anything that I have gone back and listened to with concern. Me on the Dart or on the bus or on the Lewis, frantically listening back to that day's show. And thinking, today's the day I'm going to lose my job because of that stupid thing I said without thinking about it. And it's on. Just don't listen to any of those shows. Just listen to the passable ones.
Are we talking about gay movies now or later?
He is like a broken record. Every chance, the minute we're all the way up to the point that light goes red, he's like, can we talk about gay movies? Mm. Can we talk about gay? I'm like, JP, should we just get on with our job here, please? And then once again, as soon as we're off the air, it's like gay movies this, gay movies that, gay movies the other.
The thing is, are they gay movies or are they just movies with a gay theme in them?
Well, this is interesting because Brokeback Mountain is the immediate one that you'd be inclined to. Okay, I presume you're getting into the Paul Mescal or the Andrew Scott thing.
All of Us Strangers. Yes, I'm going to see it at the weekend. The trailer looks amazing. I can't wait.
Brokeback Mountain, I remember there was such buzz about it at the time. It was so groundbreaking in that you got these two straight Hollywood heartthrobs playing these roles that are so far removed from their Hollywood persona or their persona in general. And everyone was talking about it. And there was nominations at the time as well. That I went and saw that. I was brilliant. It was fantastic. Was Michelle Williams in that?
She might. Heath Ledger, Gyllenhaal. Was she? Yeah, she was.
And who? Anne Hathaway?
Could she be
the other female partner?
Don't know.
Brilliant film. Yeah. So, sorry, what was the question?
Would you have any, or even going back to your younger days, did you ever have any reservations or shyness about consuming quote unquote gay media or media about gay stuff? Or when was your first experience of consuming something that was gay in popular culture? And I'm not talking about Karma Chameleon, Boy George. I have something in mind, and I think it was the first moment I said, do you know what? I'm going to watch all of this because I'm really enjoying this.
Was that Ali Alexander thing? Oh, hang on. It'd have to be you'd be going back to your teens then, would it?
Very late teens, I would say. Maybe early 20s. Because let's be honest, there wasn't much gay stuff on telly or in movies then anyway. Not in the mainstream, at least.
You're going back not so long ago to a time when gay was a... some people still do. Gay was a slur. Gay was an insult. Gay was something that would be weaponized against you in the negative, or against gay people, or against even straight people who are not gay. And it just being used in the negative against them. In my youth, like in my teens, I remember it being, and I suppose it was part of the norm of conversation. If you said you liked a musical or a particular song in a film, a musical film, immediately other lads, and I didn't understand the reference. This is the story of my life, not understanding the reference, though. I'm the eldest child out of my family, first of all, and my cousins. I was just talking to my youngest kid about this yesterday, because he was like, oh, I wish I didn't have a big brother. And I said, but trust me, the time will come, and it's going to be in understanding stuff, that you're just going to be so thrilled that you had a big brother that learnt it all before you, and then you learnt it from him, or you picked it up because he just knew it and then you just soaked it up around him. But for me, I always have this experience of like, I don't get it. I don't get that. I don't understand it. And similarly, like just being completely naive to saying, I don't even remember what it was. I loved The Wizard of Oz, or I loved Sound of Music, or whatever it was. It was neither of those things, but whatever it was, I remember then people laughing at me, lads laughing at me for the suggestion that it was gay, or that it was, you know, oh, he loves musical theatre or whatever. Mm. Whereas in fact, it was just a thing that, oh, I liked that, but I just happened to, and I suppose that was my first learning experience of, oh, okay, being into something that people might think. I loved the Spice Girls when I was a teenager.
Ah, no. They crossed all boundaries anyway. They were universal.
I think they were Sony BMG, actually.
Oh, my God. Might have been Warners.
Guys, you're welcome.
I'm thinking of a TV show.
A gay TV show? With Queer as Folk.
Yes, our own Aidan Gillen was in it.
Our very own Aidan Gillen. Never watched that.
It would be watched in our house. So I looked it up there. The first series was 1999. So I was 20. I was old enough, like. But it'd be watched in sort of silence, kind of. Because you don't be watching the screen going, this is different. And that's a saucy show. I mean, you go back and watch that show. That is a saucy show. They're doing stuff that's not all on camera, but mostly on camera. And you're like, whoa, okay.
And groundbreaking for its time. Was it any good?
Oh, brilliant.
Okay.
Absolutely brilliant. Brilliant acting in it. Actually, it might be the best thing it's the most suitable character I've seen Aidan Gillen play, where you just felt like his personality, the way he looked, and the personality of the character he was playing was married up perfectly. Ultra confident.
Have you seen him in Game of Thrones?
I have no.
He's very good in that.
But I didn't like him in The Wire when he played that American lad.
Yeah, fair enough. Carcetti. Tommy Carcetti,
with
the mayor.
A blazer that was five sizes too big, with the sleeves hanging down over his thumbs. I didn't buy that at all.
Go check it. Well, you're either into Game of Thrones or you're not. He's very well cast in that. Very good.
Well, Queer as Folk, brilliant. Very saucy. But I am looking forward to this Mescal Andrew Scott thing. And I, believe it or not, only found out that Andrew Scott was gay recently in the last couple of weeks when you said it to me.
You didn't know he was gay?
Totally unaware.
It's funny that, maybe 10 years ago or 15 years ago, I would have been like, oh, it's being a parent and it's just getting old. That's all it is. It's not a gay thing. It's not an anything thing. It's just like my time is just so limited that it's the same with, like I said, it's not a gay thing. It could be a foreign film that everyone's talking about. It could be a feminist film that everyone's talking about. It could be like, it's just like, unless it's 90 minutes long and it's animated, that I'm just probably not going to see it. Unless it's made by Disney and there's a superhero kicking the head off another supervillain, then I'm just not going to see it. And it's like, I'm sure it's a very good film, but the genre, the niche of stuff that I will have the time and inclination to watch has just shrunk so much. So when you said to me, I'm going to go, what's the name of the film again?
All of Us Strangers.
I was just like, yeah, I'm sure it's great, but like, I'm just not going to see it. I know it's going to be powerful and beautiful and they're two very talented guys and delighted for them being Irish, but I'm just not going to see. I've become that person that it's like, ugh. Yeah, I'd love to devote the time to that, but I just can't. And this is something that has happened every January for the last I want to say 8-9 years or so, which is, because this is what happens every January, they start streaming, either they're leaked from screeners or they start streaming the Oscar contenders. They all come out late December, January, February to a certain degree. Then these are the films that everybody's talking about. The one where Leonardo DiCaprio had sex with the bear.
What?
Never watched it. Downloaded it.
Oh, The Revenant, was it?
There you go.
I don't think he had sex. Did he have sex with the bear?
I actually don't know because I haven't watched it. I downloaded it to watch the bear sex scene. But I mean like an actual bear.
Yeah, not the subculture within gay community bears.
No, an actual bear having sex with Leonardo DiCaprio. That's the only reason I wanted to watch it. I couldn't find it on the porn sites.
Maybe he did have sex with a bear. So, I think it was the bear having sex with him rather than the other way around though.
Oh, come on. We're splitting hairs now.
It was the only thing we could split.
So there was that one. There's a bunch of Daniel Day-Lewis ones. Like the
oil. There Will Be Blood. Yeah, never watch that. See lots of clips of it. Very well thought of.
Looks
but
incredible.
My God, it looks intense.
The one, was it last year? Benedict Cumberbatch out in the beautiful scenery. Is Kirsten Dunst in it and her husband? Kirsten Dunst's husband's in it.
Don't know it. I was talking to somebody today about this. There are so many Oscar winner movies that you just don't see. You'll see the list of nominations and you go, well, I haven't seen that, or that. And I thought I was getting quite good in the last 2 years of making sure I saw all of the good films.
I think there's quite a quick turnaround, though, that there's the way they, it's unfortunate in the, and I suppose the writer's strike might have had something to do with this as well, that the turnaround is quite quick, that like it's only just out for 2 minutes for a weekend in America and all of a sudden it's been nominated for an Oscar, which is 6 weeks later. And that's down to the, get it right up to the judging point or the point where they're judging rather than it being some, like let's say they release something in April. It's going to, the heat will have, is going to have come off it by the time they're actually doing the judging in January. There's so many of those films that I have. Black Swan.
Yeah, that's supposed to be good. There's a scene though that involves fingernails and I'm not down with that.
There's loads of those films that it's just like, I just can't. So when you say like, it's nothing to do with it being a gay movie, it's just a movie that I'm just not going to have the time to watch.
Can I just say, I've interneted and Leonardo DiCaprio is officially on the record now as of 2015 to say that he does not have sex with a bear, nor vice versa. It may look like he's being mauled by a bear and the bear does thrust a couple of times, but that is just the bear making that movement and there was no sexual component to the scene.
That's an interesting one, isn't it? Because in modern movie making, was that a Scorsese movie?
No, I don't think so.
Do you want to check that out?
Okay.
So in modern filmmaking, there, you know, times have changed so much that there needs to be someone like a sex expert on set. Sex expert, is that what it is? Like
sexpert.
Someone to kind of keep an eye on the, an intimacy expert, isn't that what it is? To keep an eye on exactly what's going on between the two parties in terms of their engagement, a romantic engagement on screen. So you'd have that. And you need an animal handler as well. Or do you need a single individual who is trained as an intimacy expert and an animal handler?
When that's it comes, very niche.
When it comes to the bear riding Leonardo DiCaprio.
What's
and
the
then,
name?
Like, what order do you put that on your CV?
Alejandro González Iñárritu is the director of The Revenant. He's a four-time Oscar winner, Ray, and you will know him from movies such as Birdman with Michael Keaton.
Mm-hmm. There's another
others.
One. Never watched that.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Watched the first 10 minutes of it and I thought, I don't have time for this. I have watched it and I thought, I can't do this. No.
I'm very out. Good film. Well worth a watch.
This apparently, and it's all based, of course, on Michael Keaton's own experience, or yeah, loosely based on his own experience having played Batman.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, that's why he was cast in that role.
And that's why it's called Birdman, Batman. I'm only now joining the dots.
Oh my God.
Jeez, I'm
welcome
kick.
To the party.
I watched the movie. It's good. I didn't get it.
They do a bit of that in Only Murders in the Building as well, with your man Paul Rudd, who of course played Ant-Man and still continues to play Ant-Man in the Marvel series. He plays an actor in Only Murders in the Building who has played a superhero in a big franchise on screen. And they did it in something else. Ah, balls. I had it in my head. An actor. Ah, JP at todayfm.com. It was in my head. There's the ADHD now. That's the thing. I can't. This is a wild one with the ADHD. I listen to people on the radio, usually being interviewed or even presenters to a certain degree. people have been interviewed and they'll go, well, I've got 3 points to say on that. First of all, one, and then second of all, two, and then third of all, three. And, you know, they're each point is long enough. And I listen to it, I go, I would get to the end of two and I'd be going, oh, sugar, I forget, I remember the third one, Claire.
But you not think they've memorised those 3 points because they know they're going to be asked and that's they are the yeah, three maybe. Points. They got talking points before they go into these interviews, you see.
I always remember Jerry Ryan doing that, that he would go, I've got a couple of things there, and he'd go one and then two, and then it'd be like, he'd have them. And it's like, I just can't retain it. It's in my head and then it's gone.
Maybe he had them jotted down on a piece of paper in front of him.
Yeah, maybe he did, yeah.
Just saying, maybe you need to start making lists.
And start jotting down, so. Here's one for you. One final one that I wanted to bring up was Roy Keane. The big discussion about Roy Keane and Roy himself, not necessarily any enthusiasm being expressed by the FAI, but Roy himself expressing an interest in being the new Ireland manager because they're looking for, once again, what is it? It's January. It's the third week in January where we need a new Ireland manager. We'll need another one by the third week of February. Roy Keane on a podcast, he said that he wants to put his hand up for being the new Ireland manager.
Well, he said he wouldn't be uninterested. He is not. I don't think Roy Keane really considers himself as a viable option, and I don't think he really thinks that he's in the running. I think he was asked the question, would you be interested in a job like that? And he's gone, yeah, do you know what, I would. And I did it before, and I liked it for this reason, and therefore, yeah, sure, why not? But I don't think, he's not throwing his hat in the ring, I don't think. The press are going to spin it that way. But he is not fancy to get that gig.
I'm so annoyed that I can't remember that other scenario.
He's still there, guys.
Where someone was cast as an actor who is overshadowed by their big... Oh!
Oh my God. Hallelujah. Eureka. Here we go. Divine intervention.
I'm watching it at the moment again. Station 11, the TV show. Arthur, the French guy, he plays a role, without ruining it, there's a famous actor and he's doing a Broadway. He's doing Shakespeare on Broadway in Chicago. He's performing King Lear. Mm. And his previous was blockbuster movies. And the whole character is being overshadowed by his blockbuster movies. And he's doing a stage play, a worthy Shakespeare stage play to prove his acting chops. Oh my God, lads, that would have absolutely... I wouldn't have slept tonight.
You can rest easy now, yeah.
Oh, Roy. Anyway, this is Roy Keane this is actually Gary Neville and Roy Keane. Roy Keane warning hit home with former Manchester United teammate. Gary Neville was given advice by Roy Keane that hit home. I can't imagine that it's easy to be friends with Roy Keane. Only in the sense that he looks after himself and he, you know, he's in good shape. He's, you know, for what age is Roy Keane now? How old is Roy?
He's about 50, I'd imagine. He must be 50.
Roy Keane. 50.
I'll say 54.
He's 52, Roy Keane. 5'2", 1971. So, I can't imagine seeing because Roy seems, he's obviously a very disciplined guy and a pretty intense guy, pretty focused guy, and obviously focused on keeping himself in shape, looking after himself, living a healthy lifestyle. And then on the other side, like, you know, on my side, I would not be that. So being friends with someone like that, who would be the sort of, I should just eat, you know, get out for the jog and train 3 times a week or drink your smoothies or whatever, that would be anathema to me. So then having a friend like that must be, and they see each other all the time, don't they? Work together on telly all the time.
They do, yeah.
So this is, anyway, Gary Neville. Advice given by Roy Keane to Gary Neville has hit home with the former England international and Sky Sports pundit. Keane told his former teammate recently that he believes Neville is working too hard as he urged the 48-year-old to slow down. Speaking on the Stick to Football podcast. Is this the same one? That's where Roy said he'd be interested.
Oh, it might be.
Roy said, I know what it is. It's stress 100%. You're working too hard, Gary. You're working too hard. Your body's telling you something. You always have something, a cold, a rash or something. Gary, slow down. You've got a wife and children, all the money in the bank. What are you doing? He's a regular face in Sky Sports, but it's saying that he's always got, well, it doesn't seem to be any serious illness, but he's always sick and then he's always busy. Does he run a hotel or something in Manchester? Wasn't there a story there a couple of weeks ago about his hotel and the business he's working on there?
They certainly were involved, a bunch of the players, and he was too, yeah, in hotel or hotels around Manchester for sure, yes.
This is Gary. He says, because I've great respect for Roy and I don't think he would have said it if he didn't genuinely feel it, it hit home how that balance is important. That idea between work ethic, work ethos and hard work being the most important thing for me, and then it underpinning everything I've ever done versus slowing down at times and making sure you look after yourself and your health. You've said it to me a couple of times. I need to cop on, cut back, cut down, drink less, eat healthier. No, not in a preachy way, but just in a sort of a, maybe you might want to look like a less of an absolute.
I would say, if slob. We're talking about this, I would say I've more tentatively asked a question about how you're getting on, or what did you have? And then did you eat more? And right, and how many drinks was that? So I'd ask it like that rather than
he's
saying.
He's like your mam. JP's like your mam. He's like, and how many pints did you have? Right, how many pints
was
did
it,
you have?
Was it a late one last night?
Right. And what time was your first drink at? Okay. Yeah. What
and
time
were you mixing drinks? You were you?
Okay. I was lying. I wasn't waiting up for you, but I was awake. I heard you coming in.
Well, it's only because I kind of live like a monk. So anyone else who diverges from my habits is kind of a bit unusual to me. So I wouldn't say. I haven't been lecturing you by any means.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. But on the occasion that you have expressed, and yeah, it would be smaller. It wouldn't be as bare as Roy has done with Gary.
Roy doesn't sugarcoat many things.
He wouldn't, no. He'd be pretty direct. But I when I read it, the thing that I thought about this was that we don't do that. That I think women would find it easier to go, come here, like to a best friend or a sister. It'd be kind of like an easier thing to do or to have a conversation. Whereas fellas, we don't have those kind of relationships. There's very little seriousness that ever occurs in the time that you might have time with your friends. Do you know what I mean?
I know, but I mean, do you really want my advice? Would I really want your advice? I'm not sure. If we were living real... Oh, look, he's surprised at that. He doesn't value my advice, guys. How about that? But I assume you're an individual. You're a separate entity to me. So you are responsible for all your choices. And I would be fairly unique, I think. No, that's an arsey way of saying it. I am very much of the belief that people make choices and people own their own choices. And their choices are their own. And whatever happens off the back of those choices, ultimately you've made that choice and the consequences are your own.
Yeah.
I think if I see somebody, though, who is close to me making their life more difficult, I will try to find a way of raising it. I would do that, yeah. And sometimes people hate that and they go mental. And sometimes people are open to it. My mother and other people, the girls in my family, would be very quick if I walked into a house or apartment, wherever they were, they'd be very quick to say, God, you look terrible. Whereas I would never say that to somebody, ever.
I wouldn't say to somebody. There would be a very, very small cohort of people that I would say it to, or that I would feel, Jesus, someone needs to say it. Because, but I'm in a position where that person doesn't have that many people in their life on the level of relationship that I am at with them. So it sort of behooves me to go, actually, I have to be the one to say it. There's not many people in our lives that we would have that sort of relationship with.
But you see, Gary Neville and Roy Keane, they have, as the old cliche would say, gone to absolute war with each other. Whether
they're brothers
in arms. They've been playing in Turkey, wherever, absolute cauldrons. They've had each other's back when nobody in the 50,000 people in the crowd did have their back. And also, these are single-minded, very, very thick-skinned individuals who will speak their minds to each other. And the other thing about Gary Neville is, if you've watched him on TV, he is very open to colleagues and peers slagging him off and giving him grief and saying, you are an ordinary player. You are a hard worker. You were fit, but you were just a utilitarian player. You kind of did a job and that was it. You were useful. Nothing fancy. There were better players who played in your position. And Keane will often give him that grief when they're on TV with each other. So they know they can be plain speaking to each other and criticise each other's lifestyles if they needed to.
Well, that's a different thing. The slagging is one thing, but when it gets real, that's when it can get dicey.
I feel like you're building up to tell me that there's some element of my lifestyle that needs adjusting. Apart from the masturbation.
The constant, but sure, look, there's nothing. That's a non-negotiable.
That keeps me on an even keel, to be honest with you.
Emotionally. No, the friend that I had the conversation with says it to me often that it was a pivotal moment in his life when I said it to him. And I didn't even really think about it. I was just like, this has to be said, and I don't see him that often. And when I had seen him, I'd gotten a shock. And then over the course of a few hours, I eventually sort of mulling over it, I kind of said, well, something has to be said. And I don't know if anyone would say it to him. The issue was he was not looking after himself. He was living on his own. He had moved with work to a place where he didn't have any friends or a social scene or social outlets or even work colleagues. He was working sort of on his own in this place, and I went to visit him, and he had become hugely overweight, like crazy overweight, to the point that it's like, oh my God, he's going to kill himself with this lifestyle that he's living. He was drinking too much. He was eating all the wrong food. He was eating at 1 o'clock in the morning, probably lonely and bored and nothing else to do in his downtime apart from eating and drinking all calories. And I just said it to him. I said, this is going to kill. And he was only a young man at the time. We were both young men. I said, this is going to kill you. You're going to die if you keep living like this. And he said he got an awful fright. And he, in fairness then, he made a complete show of me. He went and lost, over the course of several years, he lost all the weight. It's funny because a couple of years ago, he said it to me. He said it was the you know, he said it saved his life. Me saying, and he always says it, and it's you know, I'm sure someone would have said it to him, or he would have reached a point in his life. But I introduced him to the point where I said, and again, a male friend of mine, listen, this is kind of weird for me to say, but like, you're going to die if you keep doing this. So change it. And he always credit. But then then in the end, every time I see him, or anytime when I got really big, I've lost a few pounds now, but anytime I got really big, when I'd see him and he'd lost so much weight, and this is a guy who would be going to training 5 days a week and gave up the pints entirely and wouldn't, you know, we'd go for dinner and he wouldn't have a starter or dessert and he'd only have the steak and he wouldn't eat the chips and he might have some skinny, sweet potato fries or something like that. Lost all the weight. And every time he'd start bringing that up, I'd be thinking to myself, oh crap, he's going to...
The tables have turned.
He's going to try to do the same thing. He's going to try and save my life as I'm noshing into the mashed potato and the chips and the gravy and the ketchup. Anyway, you can get the show on the, by the way, jp@todayfm.com. You can get the radio show on the Listen Back and the little bits of Ray on our podcast stream. Thank you for downloading.
Uh-oh. Ray Foley.
Oh, here we go. Here come the details.
Weekday afternoons from 2 on Today FM.
Ray.
Yeah.
I love the show.
Hey!